Hi, Shane. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, no bad, no bad. How's been your day?
Quiet day, yeah. How about you?
No bad, no bad. It's been a very good day with good weather. Like the sun came out today and it's been nice.
It'll probably rain, but yeah, it's so far it's looking good.
What did you do? What have you been up to so far?
Well, today,
Yeah.
just
Having your haircut.
haircut, yeah,
Yeah.
usual Sunday morning, and food, cooking.
Oh, you can cook.
You don't know?
I don't know.
No,
What can you cook best?
I cook Persian food.
Oh, Persian.
Yeah.
Tell us, like, what an example of the Persian food you make.
If I tell you, you know what I'm talking about.
No, you
So,
just like no, just say it in English.
no, it's like the names are different.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I cooked some pasta.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, what do you eat the pasta with?
With a fork. No, yeah. Chicken, spices. We're big on spices, herbs,
Same,
flavors. So,
What about your week? How's work been for you?
you know what?
What?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
This week has been tough. It's been tough.
Why? What made it tough?
It's tough. It's obstacles.
No.
Yeah. So I love my job,
Yeah.
but this week I hated my job. Yeah.
Think it comes once in a while.
Yeah. No. It was Monday to Wednesday, very busy. Everyone was off. So I was doing three people's work. Well, two people's work, but someone else was off, so I'm covering everything. And then something went wrong. I got blamed for it. I'm the type of person, if I do wrong, I'll put my hand up. I'll be like, listen, my mistake.
Yeah,
But
this one wasn't you.
it was me, but it wasn't wrong.
Oh, it wasn't wrong. So
Yeah.
why did you get blamed for it?
They just wanted someone to blame. So it was on my mind for a while. So Friday, I decided, you know what,
The boss.
I need to talk to the seniors and be like, listen, you can't blame me for this. So it's better. See, when you speak about stuff, you feel better. Instead of
You
keeping it in,
get in and
it
stuff.
annoys you. Yeah. So now I'm good. Now I'm happy again. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Oh, you're going back to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's like hybrid, like 3 days.
No, I'm fully on site.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't like hybrid. I used to work from home for like 1 2 years. It kills you from inside, man. But interacting with people, socializing, speaking to people, it's good. Yeah.
So coming from like being patient, you're like, oh, a small child just walks up to you and it's like, Uncle Cheyenne, what would you tell me most about life? What do I need to learn at this point of my life? Or just what do I need to know? Or how would you say life is to you?
Well, advice to a young person
Yeah,
asking my
like a
life.
younger you, let's say a younger Cheyenne.
You didn't tell me to ask me deep questions. I would tell them,
Yeah.
I might regret this, but
Okay.
right now, take risks, chase your dreams. Don't tell anyone tell you can't do anything. Trust in God, put your faith in Him all the
So,
time, because I didn't do it all the time. So
so
it's
you
good
gave
to,
like you say, take risk,
yeah.
believe that all things are possible, trust in God, right?
Take risks. I think I gave four. I forgot the other one, but yeah, they were the main ones. Yeah.
So picking from trusting in God, how did your journey to God start?
So
I knew you're a rapper, right?
I will talk about
Right.
that later. Yeah. So I went to church from young, but I wouldn't say I was really a Christian. So me and my dad came here when I was like 2.5, 3 years old. He generally People who are coming from where I come from, you go to church for different reasons. I don't want to get into it, it's a bit political. But you go to church and you find a community, people who speak your language. There used to be a Persian church that we used to go to.
Is there still a Persian church in Scotland?
There's a few, I think.
Oh,
There's still
nice.
one in Upper Room, but this was a different one. This was before Upper Room. So there was, in fact, there was like two or three different ones. But he went to different ones. I'm young, so obviously he takes me with him because
Yeah,
it's
me
just me and
first.
him, yeah. Not that I didn't like it. It was good. You learn all the stories, you learn all the stuff. So, but that's where it started. Sunday school.
Nice.
Sunday. You been Sunday school?
Yeah, I have.
Back home?
Yeah, back
Yeah.
home.
No, Sunday school is good.
Yeah, my
Yeah.
mom forced like me and my sister to always go to Sunday
Forced.
school. No, like we're young, so
So
like
same as me. You don't have a choice. You just go.
you have to go to Sunday. And it was fun because you get to like because I can remember we're grouped into different classes,
Yeah.
so and different age groups.
Because the foundation, so we'll get into it, but okay. In your life, you go through hard times, you go through times where you have problems, you have obstacles. If you have that knowledge as a kid built in you, the foundation, you know where to go. You know, you might not want to go there, but eventually you will go there. That's what happened to me. So I think if I didn't have that foundation going to church as a kid, even though I might have not liked it at some point, I probably wouldn't have gone to God to ask for help. So like my kids, I'm taking them to church. And I think it's important this, because in school you don't learn about this. And the world we live in now is different. So they don't teach you about God. So, yeah.
So when your dad brought you here,
mm-hmm.
you started going to church and you started developing like interest for God and understanding God for yourself, right?
Not really. I'm going to be honest, yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I felt like it was more of a chore.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I'm going there to play football with my friends.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go, you sit 30 minutes, learn about the Bible, learn the stories, and then you go outside, you play games. That's what I looked forward to when I was young. And it's a chance once a week to meet my friends and hang with them. And then you grow older. Because when you're young, I feel like what they teach you, it goes in. Like, it goes into your brain.
Yeah.
You have a database there, you store it. But you don't understand it. You don't understand why he died, why he did this.
So, but like from the point you started growing up yourself and he couldn't force you again, what decisions did you make?
So that was around when you become a teenager.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but when you become a teenager, you were a bit wild.
Yeah.
So I wanted to experience life.
Yeah.
Different life.
I think you're 28 now, right?
I'm 28.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 24. Yeah. Continue.
Yeah. So yeah, I became a teenager. There's pressure. So I'm going to school.
Yeah.
I'm living in, I've got friends from different areas.
Yeah.
I've changed school a few times. So I went to, just to build a foundation for people listening. Two primary schools, two secondary schools. But every time you switch, as a young kid, let's say you're 7 years old, you're changing school, it's not easy. Because your friends, they're gone. You're moving to an area far away. You have to build from scratch. You have to restart, you know? New friends, new community, new people. So that was hard. And when I was a kid, I was shy. I didn't speak. I was like, I keep to myself. I don't trust people because of experience, but yeah.
So from you being a teenager to at what age did you lose yourself? Like, did you decide to explore the world?
Let's say 13, 14.
So
14 years old. I didn't actually act on it, but it's, you know, it's the pressure. You have to fit in.
Yeah.
So I moved to a new school when I was like 14, 15. I think when I was 15, 16, I decided like you had a peer pressure.
Yeah.
There's pressure to fit in. Yeah. Let's say you're a Christian.
What were the things you were doing during that period of your life? And how long did it last for? Was it like from 14 till you were like 25?
I'd say from 15, 16. I should have prepared more and came with exact dates. But until COVID, so 2020.
Yeah, so what were the wildest things you did?
There's this thing going around where everyone smokes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you have it where in Nigeria, if you don't fit in, people look at you, this guy's different.
Yeah.
So I've grown up with Christian values.
Yeah.
My dad's taught me, if someone hits you, don't hit them back. That's in school, like in life, I've had fights.
Yeah.
Someone hits me, I was like, okay, I can't hit them back. So I didn't hit them back.
Yeah.
And they'll keep hitting me. And I'm like, I'm just sitting there taking it. Eventually, you're like, you know what? These are good values. But at some point, I felt like this isn't getting me anywhere. I need to hit the guy back. He's punching me 3 times. I'll kick him in the face. Like, you know what I mean? And I'm not promoting it, but you kind of lose. Yeah. Yeah. So
while growing up, like, you decided to move into things like drugs, smoking.
Yeah. It started with smoking. Partying, I wasn't really a party person. I'll be there, but I was more about making money. So growing up.
Did you go to school, like college?
Yeah. So I'll tell you. It started with smoking,
yeah.
Not cigarettes. I never liked cigarettes. But smoking weed, smoking cannabis,
yeah.
It was big. So, and all my friends did it, you know? All my friends did it. I used to chill with them. I used to hang with them during school, but I wouldn't do it. And they're always like, why are you not doing this? But I'm always there. I'm like, nah, I can't do this. I can't do this. But put you in the picture. There was a time where it's just me and my dad at home. We fell out, you know? Maybe it's me changing. Maybe it's him. We didn't get along properly. I would say his attitude changed, and of course, mine's as well. And that puts a lot of pressure on you, on your mind. So if you're angry, if you're pissed off about something, I didn't know how to deal with it. I'm at school, someone's like, you know, try this, you'll feel better. And, you know, one time I said to myself, why not? Let's try. What have I got to lose? Do you know?
Yeah.
I like taking risks. I'll take this. I'll see what's happening. He went through a little, he had some medical like problems, brain tumor, for example. For me at that age, I was maybe 14, 15, maybe younger. Can't really remember. It was a tough time to go through because I didn't know, is he going to recover? They took him to hospital. He was in hospital for like a month, 2 months. Is he going to be good? Is he going to, you know, after surgery, is he going to survive? There's always that risk.
Yeah.
Even when I got my eyes done, you were scared I was going to die.
Yeah.
But that's minor compared to brain surgery, you know? So for a kid that age, I think that's tough. So I felt like, you know what, I need to deal with all of this. Went towards smoking. And then that grew. So I grew from smoking to opportunities came by. I wore glasses. I don't anymore, thankfully. But there was people in the area, friends of my friends, their older brothers, their cousins, just people in the area that used to BMWs. They drive, they got chains, they got nice cars, they got nice clothes, they got money. And you look up to them. You know, I'm like, I want that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's say in school, I might have liked someone when I was young and they like cars. So if you have that car, they will like you, you know?
Yeah.
It's that pressure. And these people took a liking to me. So they're like, you look innocent. You look like, I had glasses. I looked a lot different to what I look now. You look innocent. You can, you know, we can use you. Yeah. And in a way, I would say I let them use me, but I enjoyed it. Sounds wrong, but yeah.
So what did they use you to do?
I'm not saying I consented. This is the important thing. I consented. So I started helping them. I started selling drugs. I did a few trips here and there. You go on a bus, you go on a train, you drop stuff off, you pick some. You don't know what's in there, you just do it.
Yeah.
You get paid for it, it's good money.
Yeah.
So, and you, when you come from the background where you're struggling, you don't have, you know what, I wouldn't say struggling. My dad put food on the table. We never, let's say, didn't eat. But we didn't have more.
Yeah.
Because he sacrificed his life and he was fully working, volunteering in the church. So he wasn't working. He was full-time church. He was doing alpha course. He was doing everything, you know? So that left me, I'm wanting more. My friends in school, they've got Air Forces. They've got, what was the shoes back then? It was...
Jordan.
Nah, it was Air Max 90. I wanted an Air Max 90. Can't afford one. It's £90, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah,
Now you have everything you need.
Not really, no. Now it's different. Now you're older, you work, you earn. But I saw that as an opportunity to get what I want to fit in. And yeah, luckily I was good at it. Because I didn't look like someone, I didn't dress like someone who would do it. So there was a way where I could do it without getting noticed. So started first doing it in school, because a lot of people in school, there was a big, I looked at it like a business. I've always had that business mind frame. They're buying from someone.
Yeah.
They have to travel 10 minutes to go get it.
Yeah.
I'll bring it to them, you know?
Yeah.
I'll bring it to them.
It saves them time.
It saves them time and I'll make something.
Yeah.
And they're happy. I'm happy.
Everyone's happy.
The original guy is happy because he doesn't have to travel as well. He doesn't have to leave his house. So
there
was, it made sense.
So like, how did you pull out? How did you leave? And were you ever caught?
Luckily not.
So how did you pull out?
But I think that was due to, I always believe someone's like been watching over me, you know? I've been very lucky. There's been times I was nearly caught, but due to police racially profiling people, they caught someone else instead of me. You know, I don't want to go into too much detail, but I've been very lucky. So, but there's been other like situations. It started from there. Then people in my area, the older guys who used to be in charge, they get caught, they go to jail. Who does it leave? The area is there. The system is there. Someone needs to take control. Not the boss, but I started doing my own networking. You meet people, you go around, you build a name, you build a buzz. That's what they used to say. You have like a street name.
It's a street name.
It's not the most proudest one.
There's
a few.
First one.
It's Egg. Don't ask me why. It's a long story. People know me as Egg. People in the area, my friends, they know me as Egg. I play football, they call me. If they want the ball, Egg pass, you know? So there was that. And then from that, they came back out. They're like, this is our area. I'm like, we're in the same team. Then we fall out. I fall out with them. I'm getting older. This time, maybe I'm 18. I fall out with them.
Did you go to school?
I did, yeah. I stayed in school.
Yeah.
But I think the smoking, all of the other stuff, affected my final year exams. So I was doing 5 years. Plan was to go to university. I'd applied for Dundee, Glasgow Uni, Strathclyde, GCU. I got accepted. I had two unconditionals. One, I think three conditionals, two unconditionals. But my results they weren't too good. The stuff I wanted to do, I got the grades I needed. The other ones, I didn't focus on it, you know. So I decided I'll go to college. I went to college to do software. I did 1 year, 6 months in, I dropped out because my mind wasn't there. I didn't want to spend my whole life behind the desk.
Yeah.
And when I'm in college, I've got two phones. My other phone is ringing. People want, they need me.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be there than be in college. I found it a bit easy.
Yeah.
I was doing software.
More money.
Yeah. And I thought, same time I'm doing music, you were asked about it. So I started music when I was, let's say, 17. I bought a microphone, proper professional microphone system. I was good with computers, so I could, you know, edit, mix, master. Learned, I'm not the best, but I learned just YouTube, you can learn anything. So I started making music. Back then, no one made music, especially like rap music in Scotland. It wasn't popular. There was three or four people who I knew of who were doing it. They weren't getting views. So I knew them. I went to school with, we all somehow, random story, we all went to the same school. Everyone who was making rap music in Scotland, Glasgow, we all went to the same school. So started from there, started to build a name. But when you build a name, you become a target.
Yeah.
So people know you for what you're doing in the music, but they also know you for what you're doing
out of the music.
Yeah. And at that time, social media is getting big. You know, someone attacks you, films you on the floor, they record it, they post it somewhere, they get clout. You know, it's that clout culture.
Yeah.
So there was always that. There's been times I've been chased by, let's say, 12 people. Why? 4 or 5 of them. Because I'm in an area I shouldn't be in. Because I was walking through an area where I had enemies. I didn't hate them. They hated me. That's the difference. People I've grown up with, people I went to school with. So that's a lesson as well. You know, you should be kind, you should be good to everyone. But your own friends will even turn on you.
Yeah.
The world is crazy out here, man. Like the people you grew up with, you could be, when you're young, you're friends with them. 10 years later, I see on the news, man, people are killing each other.
Yeah.
They're killing their friends, their family. Like, it's what it is. Yeah. So where was we? Were in
doing the software.
The reason I dropped out, the priority was music.
Yeah.
I wanted to chase the music dream. Yeah. I'd invested a lot in it. So I was like, yeah, I can do it. I dropped one song, Lana Del Rey. You know Lana Del Rey?
No.
You don't know Lana Del Rey? She's big. It was a remix. It was a cover of video games. They got good views. They got really good views on SoundCloud.
Wow.
Her manager, who I think she was in Sony or Universal, messaged me on SoundCloud. I thought it was a prank. I didn't know this is real. I didn't reply until 2 years later. But when I replied, it's too late. Because they could have, I've used their instrumentals, I've used their samples. They could sue me, they could ask me to delete it. But they enjoyed it, they liked it, you know? But I didn't take that serious because my mind is somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I tried to juggle 3-4 different things at the same time, which isn't good. And then from there, we both, the music took a hit, education dropped out. That took a hit, but I didn't really mind because money's coming in. And money was the priority. Yeah, money is the priority. Not anymore, but business.
Just business.
Money. I don't go out clubbing, my friends will go. Because when you people go clubbing,
yeah,
this is like, I feel like I'm doing a tutorial to sin, or a tutorial how to do bad things, but just to be honest,
yeah,
that's the time when you make money. If I go out on a Friday night and waste my time, spend my money outside drinking, I'm spending money. But the people out drinking, I can make money off them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good way to think about it, but that's what the motive was back then. I didn't drive. I didn't have a bike. I had a bike for a very short time, but that bike, it caused me problems. Because people see the bike, they see you everywhere.
Yeah.
And long stories, but yeah. I used to walk maybe 10, 20, 25 miles a day. That's a lot of walking.
Yeah.
I used to bus pass. I was a foot soldier. Trust me. I've done more mileage on my feet than I've done in any of my cars. I'm telling you. You can ask people that I grew up with. You phone me, I'll walk to your house.
Wow.
I would leave the house. I'd wake up. I'd leave the house maybe, depends when I wake up. I would wake up quite late. 12, 1 o'clock, I'd leave. I'd come home around midnight. But I'd be walking. I'll come home at midnight.
Why would you use buses or train?
I'd use bus here and there, but sometimes the bus doesn't take you to where you want to go. You know? So, yeah,
make so much money from the business you used to do.
I wouldn't say so much. More money than you can make working. But
right now, can you compare the working right now?
No, I would make more money. I would make more money doing
what other, you used to do.
But that money, you spend it very quick. Because you get it quick, yeah. It comes and it goes.
Yeah.
And you're young, you're stupid.
skydiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at what point did your transformation start? At what point did you, start becoming shy and doing remain shy and coming back to church, shy
Yeah,
and
that
also,
was so when I left church when I was like 12, 13, I had the choice to stay home. I always told myself, one day I'm older, I'm going back. Because that's what I want, that's the life I want to live. And you know me, we talk about this outside of the podcast. I want to get married, I want to have kids. Me and you both, we want families. I had to look at reality and be like, what I'm doing now, who would want to marry a person that does this? You know, I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't know if
Actually,
I'm coming home.
so one of the main things that triggered you to come back to church was marriage.
No, it's just looking at reality,
Yeah, looking at reality,
looking at
but like,
yourself in the mirror and being like, what am I doing with my life? You know, either I change now or I change in 5 years.
Well,
But
hopefully you get married next year.
we're working on it. It's tough. But we can do a whole podcast about that. That's part two. We'll do that next time.
I'm listening.
So that was one. But then you have to understand, man, addiction, because that's it is what it is. It wasn't just weed. It led to other stuff. My dad always used to tell me, it starts from this. You, because back home he's had experience. His friends, they do this, they take that, then it goes to worse and then worse, and then before you know it, they're dead. They're in jail. At one point, generally, bro, like honest, hands down, I prepared. I wanted to go to jail. I'm being honest with you.
Crazy.
I wanted to go to
And
jail.
being arrested.
No, I wanted to go. But you have to be prepared. In our line of work, you have to be prepared. If I wake up in the morning, I might not be coming home. Because you never know.
You really never know.
So I thought about it. I dreamt about it. So if I'm in jail, my plan was, if I ever get caught, the first day in jail, this was my plan. I'm being honest. I would repent. And I would start evangelizing.
Yeah, to
I
people.
would take a Bible, because you can take a book, you can read books. I would read the whole Bible in jail. There's no distractions, man. You know what I mean? In a way, it's good, because here in the world, you've got distractions. But I was like, if I go, I'll read the whole Bible. I'll fully commit and start evangelizing. Luckily, it didn't lead to that. But yeah, so it's real addiction. It's more than a routine. Like, drugs, they're dangerous. People say, there's bad drugs, like Class A, Class B, Class C. Weed isn't that bad, but it's one of the worst. Because it makes you think you're not addicted, but it takes control of your life. So anyone listening, or even yourself, don't go near it. Destroyed my life. Kills your brain cells, man. I used to be smart. I'm telling you, I used to be smart, bro. I'm working on rebuilding, but it kills your motivation. It makes you lazy. It kills your.
It reduces productivity.
Yeah, definitely. There's still effects of it I can see. You know, I know what I was. I'm not who I was. And that's you know what? Put down the name. I am not who I was. Trust me.
So,
Yeah, to
I
answer your
hope,
question, because I keep. You need to remind me. See, when I go off left and right, show me. Bring me back to the question. I looked at myself. I was like, who would want this? Another thing. I'm going on a tangent, but I'll come back. I hated the addiction. You know, even smoking, getting high, it wasn't. It's never like the first time. It gets worse and worse. So then you need more. You need stronger. You need. And then there's also the addiction of money. Money is addictive. It's good money, bro. It's addictive. You don't pay tax on it. That's a whole different story. That's addictive. You can spend on what you want. You know. You look at it. You smell it. I used to do all of this, bro. I used to count every night. I know how much I got, but I still recount it. I love
How
that.
much stuff? What's the other average nights did you make?
There's profit, and then there's how much you come home with.
What's your profit?
I used to make like 200, 300, 400 a day on a good day.
On a good day.
Yeah, there's been days which I've made way more, but it just depends on. So with that game, you start with small. You start selling £20, £10.
If you're coming in with
Then
400 pounds, dude.
No, but that's when you work your way up. So I went through a phase. It was me and my friend. We worked together. Me and my friend fell out. He went to jail. It's me again. I even... When I was 18. Yeah. Because I was smart. They're stupid, man. This is the thing. Honest. These people, they would go. They're still my friends, some of them. And one of my friends, he went and he was like, he's seen it as a, you have to go to become, to get respect, to build your name. Oh. They want to go, but it's a game.
Yeah.
Getting caught means you're bad at the game. You're losing the game. That's the whole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So not getting caught. Some people look at it, you're not working hard enough, but you have to be smart.
Yeah, very smart.
This is your life. If I get caught, if I did get caught, criminal record, I couldn't work right now. I couldn't do anything,
yeah.
You know? So there's always, I'm happy. I was 18. I moved out of my dad's house. I had good money. So I rented a three-bedroom.
Three-bedroom?
Yeah. And then we got roommates because there's no need for me to have three bedrooms.
Yeah.
Long story short, 1 year down the line, I had a fight with one of my flatmates. Big, muscular. He was a male stripper. And he was a bodyguard. He was a security guard. So he used to do security. And there was a... Dixon. Where was Dixon from? Kenya. Dixon. I remember Dixon. And he was studying. He was actually in uni. He was studying some chemical stuff. But there was three of us. I had a fight with the security guard. He's like triple the size of me.
Beat you up.
Not beat me up. But I'm not going to hit him. He lost it. He attacked me. Long story short, we both got kicked out. Before I got kicked out, I left. So I had a plan B always ready. You need to be prepared. Plan B, moved into another flat. Long story short, moved back into my dad's house. He kicked me out, which I fully respect.
Yeah.
He had to do it. And if I was in his place, I would probably do the same. I hated it at the time. My uncle got involved. I wanted help. I didn't have anyone to ask. I phoned my uncle. I was like, you know what? This is the situation. I need your help. He came. In my view, he came and betrayed me. Well, I gave him information that I trusted him with. He stabbed me in the back. He came. He teamed up against me. Very nearly ruined my life. I don't want to go into it because, you know, it's about forgiveness. Yeah. I've forgiven. It's done. But very nearly ruined everything. So then I became homeless. I was homeless for a few months.
So where were you sleeping?
In a hostel. Yeah, I hated it, man. So the first hostel they put me in was, I had a flatmate. So it's like a little room, but there's two of you. This guy, he smoked crack, he smoked heroin. First night, we were sharing the living room. I wouldn't go in the living room, it stank. You know, I slept, I woke up, I go in the living room, he's sitting there with a pipe. I had a big headache because I slept through it. I was inhaling these fumes.
Yeah.
I went back to the council. I was like, listen, I need somewhere else. So I went to two different hostels, and that's when I started realizing, like, you know, there's certain things I can do as a man.
Yeah.
Certain things that are outside of my power. A good thing though, see, when I used to get high, throughout the last year of me getting high, when I moved into my dad's house before he kicked me out, I used to get high and read the Bible. I'm telling you, I used to sit there for 3 or 4 hours a night just reading the Bible. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot because I used to get high. I used to write music. I used to make songs. Then I got bored of that. I used to get high and read the Bible. I don't recommend this. You know, I say it with shame and stuff, but I read Revelation, and I was like, you know what, I read the prophecies, I read everything, and I got scared. I'm like, what if the world ends tomorrow and I'm living like this? Where am I going to go? So when I was in a hostel one day, I used to blame everyone for everything that happened to me. I'm homeless, I blame my dad. I made this choice to sell the stuff, to take the stuff. I blame my dad again, I blame my mom, I blame where I'm living. But the truth was, I made choices. I decided. So I remember in that hostel one night, I was praying, I cried, and I was like, God for the first time. I used to go to counseling, you know, in church. The guy in the church, his name was Zach and Andy. And they always taught me, they're like, listen, you blame everyone. You need to take accountability. So that night I prayed and I was like, all right, God, this is me accepting. This is acceptance. I am where I am because I made choices that have put me here, not anyone else.
But did you have money to take you out of the hostels? Or?
Yeah, I had a bag full of money, bro.
So why didn't you have another apartment?
Because it's not that easy. You can't just go and rent another apartment. Plus, when I'm homeless, my whole thing is stopped. I can't do my stuff when I'm homeless. I can do a little bit here and there, but, you know, this is the thing. I was in an addiction center. They ran out of hostels. It was Christmas. They put me in an addiction center. Not because of my own addiction. This they didn't know about. I was in an addiction center where every 2 hours they come into your room and check if you're alive. And take away the needles. If you have the needles, they give you fresh ones. They just want to make sure everything's safe. I was in there with like two or three other people who weren't sent there because of their addiction. They were just sent there because there wasn't space in the hostels because it was cold, it's, you know, winter. The guy downstairs, he died. He killed himself. He injected, I don't know if it was coke or heroin, into his eyeball. He screamed for 4 or 5 hours. But I've never heard anyone scream like this. Like, demonic screams. There were screams coming from inside him. I've never heard a human scream like that. No one came to help. But I don't want to go into that too much. There was the stories of people that I spoke to in there. Crazy.
Wow.
But that night when I prayed and I accepted that I am there because of me, the morning, my phone rang and woke me up. I know a number. I pick up. They're like, oh, there's a flat, there's a council flat, if you want to come and view it. My caseworker phoned me. She's like, you can come and view it and maybe you can take the flat. I genuinely believe if I didn't pray the night before and accepted, that wouldn't happen. So I went there, seen the flat, took it. Not the best place, not the best flat, but it's better than where I was. So I wanted to get out of there so bad. So that was the first step.
Did you talk to your caseworker?
No, definitely not. But they got me out of there, got my own place. My dad came, he helped me build. We slowly built our relationship. I think something that's key, sometimes when you're going through issues with people, distance. You know, like if it's someone you've grown up with, even you give each other 1 year away, you'll both realize, like, you know, it'll fix healing. It will heal a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
When you're together and it's toxic, it's not good. And my dad had got married, which I didn't really know about. But I understand why he didn't tell me. I respect it.
Yeah.
So he invited me for like the Christmas first year. I didn't go.
Yeah.
The second year, I was really bored. I decided, you know what, I'm gonna go. So I went to Christmas. I sat around the table. I met my stepbrothers. I met my family. And I realized this is what I've been missing my whole life. This is what I wanted, you know? This is what I want to have when I'm older. Again, it put me back into that mindset frame where what I'm doing now, I can't. Bro, I was skinny. I'm still skinny, but I was 23, 24. I was 55 kilograms, 50 kilograms.
Wow.
Like bone. I've got pictures I can show you. Bone. So I went back after Christmas. It was COVID. You weren't supposed to go on the trains. You weren't, but, you know, take a risk, jump on the train, go to Edinburgh. Went back for New Year. I used to sneak out at night, go in the area, walk around, smoke, come back, sleep. They weren't stupid. They know what I was doing. But I remember my dad once, he said to me, like, this time, do it for me. Just stop it. Like, you know, like it's not going to look good on him if they find out, you know? And I'd realized this is what I want. And the addiction, I've tried to stop many times myself. It doesn't work. I'm human, man. There's only so much I can do. So what I did, I went back home. On the train journey home, I've seen testimonies of people. Tyson Fury. You know Tyson Fury?
Yeah.
I've seen his testimony. I've seen other people's testimonies. And I was like, I'll give it a go. Why can God help them? he can help me as well. So I went home, sat on the floor, on my knees. I thought, you know what, I'm not a fan of going on your knees and stuff, but I thought, you know what, I'll go on my knees, I'll pray. I said to God, I'm like, I can't do it myself. I've heard you help people. I've learned about you. I think you're real, but I've never seen you. I've never heard your voice. You communicate in different ways. I hate doing what I do. Like, I repented and I've asked them for help to stop the addiction. I woke up the next day, bro. It's gone. So, gone. Because that was gone, the passion I had for making money was gone. I had a phone, a SIM card, not the phone, but the SIM card was worth a lot of money. I threw that away. Everything I had, I binned it. And my life changed after that prayer. So, like, no more addiction, no more.
So that was our.
That was COVID 2020.
Yeah, that was our.
Christmas.
The Cheyenne of doing Remain. So, like, Cheyenne is currently doing a 1-year internship at your church, which is really good. Ooh.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing. Was your dad surprised?
They didn't know. I didn't tell them. Because it's hard. Even when you stop,
yeah,
there's still chemicals in your body.
Yeah,
it's still the first 2-3 weeks, bro. It's the sweats, the cold sweats, the weight loss, crazy. So I had to go through that. But this time it was a lot easier than when I tried before. Because God, if I had a problem, I'd pray.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd ask him. And this is something I can't deny. So I'll be honest, I'll be like, I've never heard God speak to me. I've never heard his voice directly. I know some people have. I think you had Ryan, he said he had.
Yeah.
But I've never heard that. But what happened that night? Like, I can't deny that. That wasn't me, because I couldn't do it myself. So that was, I believe it was supernatural. It was from a greater power. But that was the first step.
Yeah.
This is still a journey. I'm still in that journey.
Yeah, definitely.
There's other things that I'm still battling with.
Yeah, definitely.
That maybe in a few months I'll come back.
Yeah.
I'll be able to, like, until they're defeated.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But that was the main problem that I was dealing with. The first step to changing my life.
So how did you start working? Was it a miracle too? Getting a job?
Yeah, all of it was. So from there, my experience, you know, when you don't hear his voice, but you know he's talking to you.
Yeah.
I had God say, trust me, I'll make it work, you know. Because, bro, I've got a system there which I can make £1,000 a week. I have to throw that away. That's not easy. Yeah. That's my only income.
Bro,
you know? On a good week. On a good week. Yeah, but you spend all of that. You spend it on food. I would eat expensive food. I would eat out. You know, it's a waste.
Buy
clothes, buy jackets, buy this, buy that. Yeah, but it doesn't fulfill your heart. It doesn't get you happy.
Yeah.
You want more. You get greedy. But yeah, I threw that away. I waited 3-4 months. So that was January. I waited until summer. During that time, just to keep myself, my mind away, because it's very easy to be tempted. Temptation's hard, but I stayed strong. I would go to Edinburgh. My family was there. My dad, my stepmom. I'd spend a lot of time with them, because when I'm there, I feel safe.
Yeah.
I'm home. Even though I've not grown up in a home, it feels like I've been there my whole life. There's a special connection there. So I feel home. I feel like there's family. We eat together. When I'm at my house, bro, I eat on the couch.
Yeah.
It's different when you sit on the table.
Yeah.
You wait until everyone's there. You pray for the food, and then you, it's like it's a vibe. So that was the first step. And then applied for a sales job in around just before summer. Got an interview. I didn't want the job. I hated the job.
Oh, you got the job.
No, I went to the interview.
Yeah.
There was other people in the same building doing interviews. I got the job. They offered, after the interview, they offered me the job. I made sure I messed up that interview. They asked me questions. I gave them the wrong answer. They still gave me the job. I come outside of the interview. There was someone else there who I was not meant to meet, but he was waiting. I don't know who he was waiting for. I had big curly hair, nearly Afro style. African man, Nigerian man. Name was Sylvester. He said, oh, I like your hair. Do you want to sit down and talk? And I was like, yeah, let's talk. He's like, I own a property business. I'm looking for an assistant project manager. I'm like, I don't have experience. He's like, what have you done? Naturally, you tell him what you've done. You don't tell him the, because I can't say a lot of stuff to potential employers. Music. I told them I've done customer service. I did like a couple months somewhere, but I told them I've done like 1 or 2 years, you know. You exaggerate a little bit. And he said, I'll teach you. If you want to do this job, I'll teach you. Like, you're not qualified, but I'll teach you what to do. He liked me. He liked my hair. I think that's what it was. And he was like, let's go in my car. I'll take you around. It's a risk. I don't know the guy. You could kidnap me. Jumped in the car. He showed me some of his properties. He told me what he wants. I started working there. So again, that was
God.
I believe so.
Yeah, that has to be God.
Then there was one of his friends who we used to hire his man. His name was Emmanuel. He's an older guy. He's an elder at another church in East End. I met him and I was like, he started talking to me about God in that work. And I see him like once a week when we're using his van to, you know, deliver stuff. And he was like, yeah, you should come to church. You should come back. And I was like, yeah. One other thing which was key. I love chicken, bro. You know me.
Yeah.
Peri chicken. There's a shop called Porto Peri Peri. Big up Portos. I used to go every day. Every single day. There was a girl that worked there. I would go for chicken. I'd go to try and talk to her, whatever. The food was beautiful. I spent a lot of money, bro. All the money I'd earned from my thing went to chicken in that shop. I'm telling you, I was one of the best customers. And she was a Christian. I didn't know. And then she was like, yeah, I gave her a testimony. She was like, you should go to church. And then my other friend showed up and took me to St. Silas. So I was there for like a few months. And then different jobs opened up. I quit a few jobs. I tried to start a business. Didn't work. Got another job. You know, just different stuff. But this new year was 4 years since the repentance from being sober. 4 years. I thought it was 4 or 5 years, but yeah.
Well, you could have been a kingpin.
I worked my way up. I didn't want to do that. Because then you there's no way to get out.
Yeah.
I've got friends, bro. I've got friends who...
How about your friends? Like, who see you right now? They're like, China, how did you change?
I've got one friend.
Yeah.
Big up Ryan. Different Ryan. Not the Ryan you had.
Yeah.
He's seen me stop. He didn't think I would be able to stop. That inspired him. I could be wrong. If it's wrong, he can message me and tell me. But I remember his girlfriend telling me once, he's like, he's seen you do it, which inspired him to do it. He didn't do it for God. I tried to tell him about God. He's not really there yet. But he seen me stop. And he was like, let me try it. And he stopped. So I inspired him, you know. And he doesn't smoke anymore. He doesn't take anything else, and his life is a lot better.
So what about the people you used to sell to? Have you ever met anyone on the road and you're like, oh,
I still see them. I'm like, I try and stay away from them. They don't recognize me anymore. I look a lot different. Long glasses, my hair's different. I'm not as skinny as I used to be. I drive, so me bumping into them is very rare. But the people I grew up with, the people, my friends, my partners, we used to have our own little gang, Southside Soldiers, SSS. I went to school with some of them. I met some of them in the area. Some of them are still, I wouldn't say friends.
But you still have the Southside.
Yeah, we all still stay nearby. I see some of them. Some of them I don't talk to, just for different reasons. Not that I don't like them. They don't like me. Whatever. I don't want to open closed doors.
Yeah.
But I see other people. I see friends who were good people. They did what I did. We were in the same game. They're gone past repair. Now one of my friends, he's became an alcoholic. like I went to his house, we went to his house, and you know the way he was living, I've never seen anything like that before. And mentally, I don't recognize him. He's gone. Yeah, last week I was speaking to Duncan. I was driving. I had a mentor meeting with Duncan. I seen someone who was one of my friends. One of the older guys. Talking to himself in the street, talking to a wall.
Wow.
Yeah.
But like the fact that you are able to also change your friends, like
one of them.
No, you change. Like you talk to more people in church than you because.
No, change my friends.
Yeah.
You know what? I always prayed for friends.
Yeah.
Because you know, friends, they're not temporary. They're big. They're big in life.
Yeah.
I want friends who. They're my friends now, but in 20 years' time, when I have kids, my friends have kids. We can go to each other's houses.
Yeah.
We can still be friends.
Yeah.
Our families can be friends. I've never had that opportunity. I always prayed, God, I want good friends. Even my dad used to pray, I want life for good friends. Because I always, you know, your parents know your friend. Like they say, what's the saying? Your friends, you become like your friends.
Yeah, true.
And they know if you have good friends, you have bad friends.
Yeah.
But like one thing I like about Rehope, I've found that friends. Circle that that. The people who I feel not even you, bro.
Yeah, we went to Rehope like almost the same time.
Yeah, I think it was my second week. It was your first week, first week.
Yeah, like having people you're going to gym with, playing football with, just doing a lot with. And you know, I thought you were joking when you're like, "Oh, you're going to do Remain." You're like, I'm signing up for Remain.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
You want me to go into it quickly?
Okay. Yeah. Quickly. Just a bit.
I went to a conference.
Yeah.
I'll go every August. It's a Persian conference in Wales. I met someone who I started talking to, getting a bit close to, and they talked to me about mission and internship. And I spoke to another friend who I think he's like a youth pastor, and he was saying, you should do an internship. He found me one in Birmingham. He's like, okay, you live in Glasgow, where it starts next week. You need to move to Birmingham. I had £120 to my name.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford to give up my house.
Yeah.
Sell my car in a week and move to Birmingham. I didn't have money to rent anywhere. He's like, don't worry, it'll work. That £130, £50 went to a men's conference. I was in a different church back then.
Yeah.
I went to a men's conference. And I can't really remember what the conference was based on, but it was a story of Peter.
Yeah.
In the water.
Yeah.
Where his eyes were on Jesus.
Yeah.
The 4 days there. The pastor, when he was preaching, he kept making eye contact with me. And he kept saying, God is saying, someone here, trust in me. I'm asking you to do something which is not possible when you rise. Just say yes and do it. I even spoke to him. I'm like, this is what I've been feeling. Someone's telling me to go into an internship. I feel like God wants me to go. It's not going to work. It's in Birmingham. How am I going to live? I can't afford it. He even said to me, do it. Go. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And I felt really guilty.
Yeah.
I was like, God, give me another chance. Then the first week I came to...
Real.
I actually came to find Tim. You know Tim?
Yeah, I know Tim.
Because he wasn't replying to my messages. So I came to I came to surprise Tim. And then I heard about Remain.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, maybe this is...
A good chance.
Yeah. Maybe this is a second chance. So it was something I felt like he called me to before. I don't know why. And he's calling me again. So I was like, this time... You can't say no. You don't get second chances often.
Yeah.
It remains good. There's challenges. I'm not going to lie and be like, it's brilliant. It is brilliant, you know? But there's times you'll feel like you don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And there's time you feel burnt out. But there's a lot of things that I've learned, and there's a lot of things that it's making me learn about myself and the changes I still need to go through. Because we humans, people, even me, bro, I hide some stuff. I feel like I'm perfect, but I'm not. God doesn't want me to be doing this stuff. Doesn't want me to be doing this stuff. The Remain has opened my eyes that to live that life, I need to get rid of all of this. You know?
Yeah.
And if you want to do any ministry, if you want to go on mission, if you want to, like, whatever you want to do, or anyone, like, I would recommend it. It helps you. It gives you an experience. It gives you a taster in Glasgow. You start serving. I love serving.
True.
I love serving, man. So.
Yeah, it's been an amazing story. Like every episode.
It's still not done. It's nearly an hour, so we'll stop.
Yeah,
but
this is part one.
This is like,
you said you're coming back again.
This is like Fast and Furious, but we're gonna have multiple parts.
Oh, it's been very interesting listening to you. Everything just keeps getting better, and every time I listen to people's story, I'm just thankful that I actually started this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Even though it was hard to get you to come.
Well, it's been a few weeks, no?
Yeah, thank you.
Even today, I was going to cancel.
For you?
I was running late. I had to get my, like, trust me. But I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
But I showed up 30 minutes late.
Yeah.
But I was here.
Yeah, yeah.
So fine. We did it now.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you so much. I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Like, if anyone wants to talk. One thing before we wrap up. One thing which I think is important.
Yeah.
There could be someone listening who's going through something similar to me.
Yeah.
I didn't have anyone to reach out to speak to ask for help, who could relate. I think relation is like, it's important.
Yeah.
There's not many people, like, if you listen to someone who's done, let's say, witchcraft, and someone who's done that and they're free from it now, I would recommend speaking to them about their experience and how they got free, because they can relate and you can connect.
Yeah.
So if there's anyone, like, message me, talk to Itunu, you know, here to help, and trust in God. Talk to him, ask him for help, and he's faithful.
Sure.
He answers.